We've got some moments, some stories that we really think you should know about today.
Free, free
Palestine!
That's your basic question. Is the Strait of Hormuz open? Has Iran given up their nuclear weapons?
The Strait of Hormuz is a complex situation right now.
I hope you look back at this and understand how bad this is making you look.
If there is a renewal of war, if there is another aggression by the Israelis and the Americans, Yemen will become deeply involved.
Can you at this moment acknowledge that that mistake was made and that we were responsible for it?
The investigation is ongoing. As soon as it is complete, I'm happy to be as
transparent
as possible.
So that's enough. We will not take responsibility for something we very obviously did.
Wow, these are almost stories that tell themselves. Election interference that no one seems to care about all of a sudden in America. Iran is ready for a second round. And George Galloway. You see, before there was a Thomas Massie, there was a George Galloway, a politician willing to tell truths even at his own expense. And he's now got a hot podcast. And he's going to join me. He's going to be sitting right there, right next to me, here on The Sanchez Effect. Let's do this. Hello again, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. It's so nice to know that you're there. More than some 3.5 million of you checked in just the last day alone as we broadcast the live coverage of Mr. Xi's summit with Mr. Putin this week. I just want to thank you for being there with us. Also, I want to start by playing a comparison game. Are you ready? This is going to be good. Oh, goody, right? A game. Here's how it starts. You remember when in America, the media's hair was like on fire because Russia had interfered in a U.S. election? This was big. How dare they, said Rachel Maddow and so many others at the time. You probably remember the coverage. It was insane. I was a part of it. It was insane. In fact, in case you forgot, this is what it looked like.
Russians are watching with amazement, and some in the Kremlin, no doubt, with delight, at the full-blown American freakout over Moscow's role in the U.S. presidential election.
New evidence of Russia's determination to interfere in our election.
As the Mueller report correctly notes, there was sweeping and systemic interference from Russia to degrade our democratic process.
Over the past 2 years, Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team, along with America's top intelligence agencies, have demonstrated one clear fact. The Russian government meddled in the 2016 presidential election.
Congressional probes into Russian election interference showed no signs of letting up.
And we're learning disturbing new detail about just how pervasive the Russian attack on the 2016 election actually was.
You know the crazy part about all that? Crazy part about none of that was true. None of that. It's a story that fed off itself and they just kept reporting it. Oops, right? Okay, now I want to show you something, which is an actual, verifiable case of election interference. Israel has just taken down a guy who, by most measures, is the most honest politician in the entire United States. In fact, I remember it was like 4 years ago. I was having a conversation with Tucker Carlson, and he told me, I'll never forget this. He said, hey, Rick, watch this Thomas Massie guy. He's such a decent dude. He's one of the most decent guys in all of Congress. I did. I followed him after that. He was right. I found Massie to be unique. Keyword here, uniquely principled. So much so that when Israel offered him tons of money, I mean tons of money, he said, no, I don't want your money. So then what happened? What did Israel do? They couldn't buy him, so they destroyed him. They had to take him down. And just in the last 48 hours, they took him down with $30 million. Thrown at his opponent. Hell, Netanyahu's own advisor ran the opposition against Massie in Kentucky. Does that sound to you like foreign campaign interference? Hell yeah, of course it does. And obviously, the media in the United States is going to give it the same amount of coverage, right? That they gave the Russian interference story, right? Wrong. I'm going to read you now a couple of the... This morning, I got up and I wanted to check on this, right? I want to see. Let's see. Let's just see. So I just Googled Massie, right? Here's what I got. These are the top four entries, and I put them in order. Here's the BBC. Trump-backed challenger
defeats Republican rebel Massey in primary. There it is. Do you see anything there about who funded the opponent? A guy, by the way, who nobody's ever heard of, who now says he wants to restart the draft in America to send more U.S. soldiers to fight Israel's wars? No, it's funny. I don't see it. I'm looking at it. I don't see it there either. So what do you say we go to the New York Times, huh? All the news that's fit to print is their moniker, right? There's their headline. Massey is defeated in Kentucky, falling to a Trump-backed challenger. That's it. Nothing else. Let's go to the Politico, right? Politico is surely there. They're like an online paper, right? They're going to tell us what's behind Massey's defeat, right? They're not like that regular mainstream news. Oh, yeah, they are. Trump picks off Massey. Trump in Kentucky. Notice they make it sound like Trump did all of this by himself. No mention of the tens of millions of dollars that were given to this cause by Miriam Adelson. None. How about PBS? My God, America's public voice, the public station of America, right? The people's voice. How do they report this? Let's see. Massey's loss leaves no doubt about Trump's power over the GOP. Six takeaways from Tuesday's primaries. There you have it. The comparison game. Thanks for playing along. What do you say we talk now about the latest on the Strait of Hormuz? Because it seems like every day, Iran is finding some new avenue of empowerment that, by the way, they didn't have before or didn't deploy before they were attacked by the United States and by Israel. So, come on. I'm going to break this down for you as best I can. I got a map I'm going to put here. So this is the Strait of Hormuz. You can see it right there. Every one of these little red lines you're seeing there, and they're like all over the place, right? Those are internet cables that go under the sea. So they're underwater, right? In fact, two of them that are right here, because, you know, the territorial waters of any country goes out 12 miles, right? So two of them are in the territorial waters of class Iran, right? That would be the Gulf and the Falcon lines. Why is this so significant? Well, the IRGC has just announced that it's going to start charging all the big internet companies all over the world a fee, right, for maintenance and just for using their territory or running it under there. Of course, the biggest fear now is if the United States does, as Mr. Trump has threatened to do, and kind of restart this war, then they could even cut these, right? They could sabotage these. They could block them. They could stop them from working. And why would that be important? Here's why. These internet lines pretty much control much of the commerce and much of the finance in most of this part of the world, and some would even argue in different parts of the world as far even going out to the West, right? And it would affect India. It would certainly affect. I'll give you an example of something it would affect, which would be huge. Obviously, you could forget about commerce and finance in the UAE and some of these other centers. But the Saudi Arabians, for example, as you probably know, because you've read the headlines, have just devoted billions of dollars to these data centers that they're going to put here. Those data centers, when these lines go out, those things suddenly become obsolete. So it's like another point of empowerment for Iran that in the past they didn't use, they didn't deploy. They would have never thought to stop or try and control the flow of shipping in the Strait of Hormuz or these cables in the past. So why are they able to do it now? Because they were attacked by the United States and by Israel. See, that's important. So the question here that I think that we need to ask now is, did no one in the United States think about this? Really, think about this. Did no one in the United States think or say to the president, Mr. President, don't do this, because if you do that, they could, shut down the Strait of Hormuz, or they could take control of the Strait of Hormuz, or they could do this type of thing, right? Well, the answer to those questions as to whether somebody thought about this, apparently it's not. Apparently nobody thought about this. In fact, this week we have seen case after case of some of the top minds, brass in America,
going before Congress, it's been amazing to watch, and not being able to answer some of the most basic questions. I mean, as an American, I can tell you, this has been disappointing to watch. Here, I got some for you. I'm going to start with this one. The killing of those 100 or so little girls in that Minyab school in Tehran, right? It was horrible. The whole world saw it. They were literally burned alive by a double-tap strike conducted by the United States. Obviously, it was a mistake. The United States didn't mean to kill, didn't target little girls, obviously. So just admit it was a mistake and apologize for it, right? Can't do that. Here's the head of Central Command, CENTCOM, for the United States. His name is Admiral Bradley Cooper. Watch.
Can you at this moment acknowledge that that mistake was made and that we were responsible for it? It's something we didn't want to do and don't want to repeat.
Congressman, to reiterate, the United States does not deliberately target
us. Got that part.
Period. Full stop. And nor are the Iranian people our enemy. The IRGC is the adversary in this case.
I heard that in your opening statement, Admiral. I asked you a very specific question, and I'm curious what the answer is.
So the investigation is ongoing. As soon as it is complete, I'm happy to be as transparent as possible.
We will not take responsibility for something we very obviously did.
And what, sir, it's a complex investigation. The school itself is located on an active IRGC cruise missile base.
Absolutely.
It's more complex than the average strike. Soon as we're complete, I'm fully committed to transparency, given your important oversight role and the other members here.
Just so you know, and I have an enormous amount of respect for you and an enormous amount of respect for the Pentagon, I do not trust that answer. What we've seen out of the Secretary of Defense and his callous disregard for any sort of rules of engagement or protecting civilian life may make us suspicious.
Speaking of the Secretary of Defense, here's another one. There's a clearly stated law that says you can't kill people who surrender, right? In other words, when you're in combat and somebody says, I give up, right? You have to give them quarters, some kind of shelter, some kind of food, water, right? It doesn't have to be grandiose, just something, right? You can't just shoot and kill somebody who's an unarmed prisoner. But that's what the Secretary of State, Pete Hegseth, aforementioned, has publicly stated. It's unprincipled, right, to even say something like that. It's against God's commandments. But I get it. If you're not religious, okay, more to the point. It's written in the code of conduct. The military code of conduct, right there. Also, international law says, can't do it. Any officer worth his stripes would know that, right? Watch.
You're a combatant commander. You're one of our most senior military officers with tens of thousands of service members under your command. Does the Law of War manual state that it is prohibited to utter, to declare that no quarter be given?
It prohibits a large number of things.
I just read the provision to you. I just read it to you.
We will follow everything that's in the law.
Answer the question, Admiral Cooper. You have tens of thousands of service members under your command.
And
I literally just read a provision from the Law of War manual, our own manual. Will you not just say what I just read to you?
I will say that we will follow the law of armed conflict to the T.
This is just unbelievable to me.
I find the same thing, sir.
It's our job to make sure the law is being followed. That is literally the obligation of this Congress. I read to you a provision of our own Law of War manual, and all I want you to say is what the provision says, that it is prohibited, this is the title, this is what the title says, to declare that no quarter be given.
I will follow the law to the T and expect everyone to do the same.
This is extremely disappointing. Our service members deserve far better than this.
To the T. I'm sorry, but you know, there's just something cowardly about hiding behind non-specific sloganeering, you know? I mean, I understand that's the type of answer you're gonna get from some petty thief who doesn't want to admit that he stole something, right? Or maybe even a child who just doesn't know better after sticking their hand in the cookie jar, as we like to say. But an admiral, what does that say about him? Here's another one. This one's about the lack of clarity that we're getting from the United States administration, or lack thereof. Here.
The president has the best information available to any head of state.
Why does he keep getting it wrong, then?
The president does not keep getting it wrong. The White House is leading these negotiations to find a long-term solution.
I'm sorry, I got 20 seconds left here, but he doesn't keep getting it wrong. He says, literally, the strait is open. Iran has agreed to give up their nuclear weapons. Iran has agreed to give up their ballistic missile programs. That's your basic question. Is the Strait of Hormuz open? Has Iran given up their nuclear weapons?
The Strait of Hormuz is a complex situation right now. Where you have a severely degraded foe.
I hope you look back at this and understand how bad this is making you look. I mean, look, you can answer the question now. You can challenge me in a thousand different ways. But to just pretend that reality isn't reality and say it over and over again in a public hearing, I'm sorry, that's not helping our credibility. Thank you for the indulgence, Mr. Chairman. I yield back.
When reality isn't reality, you lose your credibility. You think? When we come back, the mother of all talk show hosts is going to be joining me right here. George Galloway was a member of the British Parliament. You heard what I said about him earlier, right? Before there was a Thomas Massey, there was a George Galloway, a politician who had the guts to tell the truth, even when he knew what the effect would be on them. That's Thomas Massey. That's George Galloway. He's going to join us right here when we come back. Stay there. You know, I got to tell you, there are a few people in the world that I enjoy talking to more and few people in the world that I respect more than George Galloway, former member of the British Parliament, who now has this rock solid talk show that is the mother of all talk shows, as he says. Good to see you, my friend.
And you.
I'm so happy. Thanks so much for being here.
You are a master of the craft. Your work with that plasma, your monologue. I'm complete hats off. To Rick Sanchez,
that's
really.
That's so nice.
You're a master.
I appreciate you saying that. Hey, I listen to your show almost every day. I went jogging with you this morning, the show you had on with Mr. Morandi, and we're going to play that in just a little bit. But between now and then, something just came to my attention. One of my producers brought this to my attention a couple of hours ago, and I have to play this. This is a video that has just come out of, not just come out, but hell, Mr. Ben-Gavir himself put this out.
Yeah.
Apparently, there was a flotilla of, it was a humanitarian cause where they were bringing relief supplies to the people of Gaza, the Palestinians who are there. They were, I guess, captured by the Israelis, by the IDF. And then Mr. Ben-Gavir shows up himself. We've got the video. Let's play it. And George, feel free to talk about it while we're looking at this, okay? Here it is.
Free, free Palestine!
Check it.
This man is a minister, by the way.
Yeah, he's a minister.
In the cabinet of Netanyahu.
What is it? Look at this. Those are not.
These are international citizens seized in international waters, kidnapped with no lawful authority. And look at how they are being treated in front of the cameras. And as you put it, Ben-Gavir released this himself.
Yes.
This is not a leak. This was him boasting to the Israeli electorate how he treated the citizens of multiple allied countries. Because, of course, most of the countries from which these people came have backed Israel resolutely over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
This is the arrogance, the contempt. This Ben-Gavir is the man who said that spitting on Christians is not a crime in Israel.
Yes.
It's a tradition. So when you see them spitting on priests, on pilgrims, on holy places, that's the man who says it's acceptable.
But let's put this in perspective for the rest of the world. These people who we just saw handcuffed with their hands behind their back, on their knees, being held down and forced to listen to some song or some religious rite in Israel or something, and I guess sing along or something. These are not criminals.
No.
These are not people who went there with guns. These are not people who went there to hurt Israel.
They went there with baby foot.
They declared what they were doing, right? We're here to help the Palestinians. We want to bring them relief supplies.
Yes.
And this is how they're treated?
Well, most governments in the world have utterly condemned it, except the British government, who had at least 20 British citizens on board these ships. This is excruciatingly embarrassing.
Starmer hasn't condemned
this? Not at all.
Oh, my God.
For the Western governments that backed Israel throughout, this is an excruciating embarrassment. But I just ask this question. Yeah. If this is how they treat foreigners with British passports, French, Dutch, Danish passports.
I know where you're going.
How do they treat the Palestinians when there are no cameras watching? Well, we know this man wears a noose on his lapel.
Yeah.
He wants to hang the Palestinian prisoners. Yeah. And he's just got the Knesset to agree to pass a law to begin doing that.
Exclusively, we should add, because I think it's okay to say I may want to hang people who kill other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's a question about, you know, religion and everything else. But yeah. But that's not what he's saying, right?
No. He's saying that that Israelis are exempt from this law.
Bingo.
It's an apartheid law that hasn't been seen since the downfall of apartheid. And even apartheid was more subtle than that. As my own wife put it on Twitter an hour or two ago, after Nuremberg, men like Ben-Gvir were hanged. In Israel, they're put in the cabinet as the security minister of the state. You know that Thomas Massie lost to the supporters of these people?
Yeah.
It's a badge of honor, really. Yeah. He'll get his reward in the other life. I'm sure about that.
The idea that in the United... You saw what I just mentioned a little while ago, and I had to juxtapose it with what happened a few years back with Russia.
Yeah.
Because we made a huge deal. Let us suppose that Russia... If Russia did anything, it may have been that they had some bots, paid $10,000 for somebody to put on Facebook some negative things about Hillary Clinton. That's it.
Yeah.
At worst, right?
Yeah.
There's not even any proof of that. But let us suppose that's what Russia did. My God, George, how do you compare that with spending $32,000 and giving an Israeli advisor and sending him to Kentucky to back the candidacy of a man who no one has ever heard of to be the most honest politician that I believe? And when Tucker told me that, I studied this guy. He is.
Yeah.
And to take him out of the Congress.
And only 20 people attended his victory rally. Like Joe Biden in 2020, he didn't show in the election at all. He didn't attend a single debate. He had only 47 donors from the state of Kentucky, as opposed to thousands of donors from Kentucky in the opposite column.
And Miriam Adelson.
But boy, were his donors big donors.
Yeah.
From outside the country, from the Israel lobby inside the country. I mean, I thought we were going to be talking about the buying of an election, but I have serious doubts about the outcome of this election. I think the story will move on.
Really?
Did Israel steal this election? It's deeply suspicious.
You mean at the ballot box?
Yes, the 2 a.m. dump of mail-in ballots. Remember them?
Yeah.
Trump does. Mail-in ballots in the middle of the night being dumped, and every single one of them for Massey's opponent. Voting machines, remember them?
Mm-hmm.
We better not say too much. Voting machines, the same voting machines were used. I believe that Massey was 2020'd. He was trumped, except this time, Trump was a part of the conspiracy.
But you said something interesting a little while ago about this, and that is that I think in some ways, Massey will become better for having had this happen to him.
Yeah, for sure. He's now on the international stage.
Yes.
You and I are talking about him. The whole world is talking about him. He was an obscure District 4 congressman before the last couple of years.
Who, by the way, his mission in life, as Tucker told me, was... All this guy wants to do is make sure that people's money in America isn't spent on stupid stuff, especially wars.
Yeah.
That's all he is.
That's all he is.
He's a guy who cares for his, constituents.
He's not a revolutionary. He's not a radical. 91% of the time, he voted with the Republicans in Congress.
Yeah.
He's an honest money guy. He is a man who doesn't believe in big government. He is the archetypal man that... America First, MAGA, call it what you will, ought to have been appealing to.
Right.
But they lost him, and they lost so many others. Tucker Carlson,
yeah,
an even greater man than Thomas Massie, they've lost him
completely.
Candace Owens, even to some extent, Steve Bannon, Alex Jones. All these people have gone. Trump has lost all of the people who supported him through thick and thin, Marjorie Taylor Greene being another, who were ready to go to prison for him when the state was targeting him. He's lost them all. All for Miriam Adelson? I mean, is that worth it? Wouldn't be to me.
Well, let me correct you. It's not for Miriam Adelson. It's for $300 million worth of Benjamins.
Yeah, sure.
Right? I mean, but it's all about the money.
How much money do they need? I mean, Donald Trump and his family are richer than Croesus.
The age-old question.
They better keep it in the bank because some of it might well be taken back by the government, not least this crooked deal they've just done with the IRS. I spoke to Judge Napolitano, our friend, just last night, and he was making the point that this cannot possibly stand legally. So he suggested that they keep a lot of this money in the bank. But how much money do they need? I ask this question. When you're a billionaire, why are you not thinking about the Day of Judgment? Yeah. Why are you not thinking? Because none of that money is coming with you,
right,
as you and I both know. All that's coming with you is your good deeds. Mm. And if that was me, I'd be saying, how can I mitigate the sins I've committed in this life in order to have access to the hereafter? But it doesn't seem to work with
to make
Trump.
A better world. What I think you think of and what I think I think of. And I think part of that is even just getting to know the world in a better way so that people in the country you come from or the country that I come from can understand. For example, you and I happen to be in Moscow right now. Mm. This is a fantastic and interesting place.
Wonderful.
I was talking to Scott Ritter last night. And I said, what is it about Moscow you like so much, Scott? I know what I like, but I'd like to know what you think. He says, you know what it is? When you look at the people in Moscow, you get a feeling that they're just like we were in our countries when we came out of our malaise, right? Mm. In the United States, look at after the Depression. America became this place that was filled of confidence, but what did it come from? A horrible situation. Moscow in the 1990s was a bad place, a dangerous place.
The Wild West.
A horrible place.
Yeah.
And somehow these people, some would argue, I think, legitimately, with the leadership of Mr. Putin, were able to pull themselves out, right, of that. Mm. And I think that's why people have that skip in their step here. We used to have that.
Yeah.
You used to have that in the UK.
We did. And we used to be able to safely walk the street at 2 a.m. We had to be able to leave our bicycle without the fear that someone was going to steal it.
Right.
We used to feel secure and hopeful for the future. And that's what I find here in Moscow.
Me too.
And we've lost that. We've lost our way, Rick, in Western countries.
Ugh.
And that's why they hate Putin in the newsrooms of the West, because he's responsible for this. When he took over, Russia was lying drunk on the floor.
Yeah.
And people were picking its pocket. And he picked it up, he dusted it down, put a spring in its step, he marched the people forward.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the transformation, the life here. I mean, my son and I started counting Maybachs, beautiful limousines.
Mm-hmm.
We gave up, there's too many. We started instead to count two-tone Maybachs.
Yeah.
And we had to give that up because there's too many. The prosperity here is phenomenal, despite 20 rounds of crippling economic sanctions. But they didn't cripple Russia, they crippled us. They were boomerangs that we threw Russia. And they came back predictably and hit us in the face.
Yeah, they found a way. You know, it's almost interesting to watch. I don't know. Hey, Gene, do we have that video of Mr. Putin walking around with Mr. Xi in China? You look at Putin, especially toward the end, George, he had this skip in his step.
Yeah.
Like, you know what?
And he's older than me, too. I wish I had that skip in my step.
But yeah, you could tell he's on familiar turf. He's quite look at him. He looks like, you know what? This is a great thing that you and I are doing, Mr. Xi. We can change the world.
Yeah.
And in many ways, they kind of can. And that's not to say that the West, I don't want to give up on the West. I think it's still there is still a solution there. But what these guys are doing are some pretty incredible things.
And don't forget that this man, Putin, had, according to the Western media, multiple crises in his health. He had cancer of everywhere. He had heart failure. According to the British media, he'd even died and had a body double.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the healthiest.
And there's a coup that's going to take place tomorrow. Exactly. Did you hear?
He's the healthiest looking corpse I have ever seen. And that's why they hate him. He goes on and on. He has phenomenal approval ratings. No Western politician could enjoy
80-something percent. On a German poll.
Yeah. And the country's hopeful.
Yeah.
Even in the middle of a war, they're hopeful. They believe that they're doing the thing. I have just come, told you about my son. Mm-hmm. I took him to the Victory Museum.
Yeah.
No Russophobia survives a visit to the Victory Museum.
Yeah.
The sacrifice made by the people here in the war 1941 to 45 is so incredible. 27 million people. And where did it end? It ended with the Soviet army in the rubble, in Berlin, dancing on the Reichstag, dancing on the bunker.
They saved the world.
We'd be talking in German if it were not for them. And instead of respect, they get enmity, which Zhukov predicted, by the way, the great general who conquered Berlin. He said, we have liberated Europe from fascism. They will never forgive us. How prescient was
that?
Now, in Western schools, I mean, I took my son there because his history teachers are not going to teach him that. Nobody in the West gets taught the actual history of the Second World War.
It makes me crazy. Nothing against the French, nothing against the British, certainly nothing against the Americans. The Americans did a great job in World War II. It wasn't their war.
It was a great alliance.
Yeah, great. The French, they lasted a month, two and a half, something. The British, wonderful effort, but, you know, in the end, it was all about turning out the lights there. So, really, the greatest of all achievements was the Russians. I hate to say it, but they were the ones who did all the heavy lifting, right?
No one can deny it.
How can you then leave them out of these ceremonies they have every year and say you're not invited?
There's a house in Stalingrad, now Volgograd, Pavlov's house, it's called. The Nazis lost more men trying to take that house, unsuccessfully, by the way, than they did in the conquest of Holland, Belgium, and France.
Jeez.
And they spent more time outside that house than it took to get from Berlin to Paris and conquer the armies on that way. It is phenomenal. 80% of all German casualties in World War II were inflicted by the Russians. By the Soviet Red Army, 80%. And who liberated Berlin? But them. We were standing off somewhere. Now, like you, I am not disrespecting our war effort at all.
Of course not.
In your case, particularly in the Pacific theater, but also from 1944, from the landing in Normandy, a lot of blood, Canadian blood, American blood, British blood, was shed. A lot of resistance and partisans in occupied Europe, heroes all. I just wish we could get back to that alliance.
Right.
I just wish that we could we could stop trying to make everyone hate Russia, love Germany, hate China, love Japan.
Well,
for someone of my age, that doesn't compute.
There is something taking place right now in the place from where you hail. The UK with Mr. Starmer, that I don't even understand. There's this rigmarole taking place with Russian oil and Russian sanctions. I think we've got. Do we have the article? Let's put this up if we can. So the UK apparently is struggling to reassure Ukraine after easing new sanctions on Russian oil. What the hell is this all about, George?
It's been a very bad day for the British elite, Rick. I don't know if you're across it yet. King Charles's death was announced on a British radio station.
No.
Yes. And when he heard his obituary, it nearly killed him. And a pigeon pooed on King Charles in Northern Ireland.
Lovely day.
Almost at the same time. Keir Starmer, yesterday, announced a new trade deal with North Korea. They were dancing in the streets of Pyongyang.
North Korea.
And then at the end of Prime Minister's questions, he had to correct himself in that nasal whine of his. Yeah. And then, of course, means South Korea, not North Korea. And then he outright...
This is your Prime Minister.
Yeah, at the moment. And then he said that Britain absolutely had not lifted the sanctions on Russian oil, at the same time as the civil service released documents which showed that they had lifted sanctions, yeah, as long as they're refined by a third country. That means as long as we can pay three times the price.
Right, it makes it more expensive.
Three times more. We're going to buy it from India, three times more expensive than if we bought it from Russia directly. Hey, take that, Putin. Well,
but why not just have the intestinal fortitude to just say to your people, hey, you know what? You guys need fuel. Yeah. The people of Britain
and you
right
come
now,
first.
And yeah, and I'm going to take care of you first. And if it means getting the oil from the Russians, hell, I'm calling Putin right now. I know that's going to make some people angry, but I got to do this. Exactly. See, that's conviction. That's courage. Why doesn't he do that?
It's putting your own country first, but we just don't do that. None of the European governments, which is one of the reasons why Starmer, Macron and Merz together, put together,
yeah,
could not muster 50% in an opinion poll. They are in the teens. And Starmer's almost in single figures. He's at 10% approval rate. And that's one of the reasons, because people know that their lives are getting worse every day. Their problems are mounting, and they don't have a government that's looking after them. They have a government that is more concerned with other matters abroad, helping Israel, helping Ukraine. And whilst they may not be fully paid up to my perspective on these things, they know it can't be right to take the cold weather payment from our old age pensioners and give it the next day to Zelensky. Mm. And they're beginning to know that the whole Zelensky clique appear to be the thieves of Kiev. Even low-level guys are making off with millions, which means the top guys are making off with hundreds of millions. And it's our money. It's our money that could have been spent on other things that we need.
Did you hear when I said a while ago, I don't know if you were here and maybe you were in the control room, when I started the show, I said that before there was a Thomas Massie, there was a George Galloway. And I hope you take that in the wrong way. I'm not trying to kiss your butt or anything. I'm literally telling you that what you once stood for and took a lot of grief for was worth doing. And what you were doing was telling the truth at a time when a lot of people didn't want to tell the truth.
It was a revolutionary act. Imagine that parliamentarians telling the truth should be...
or a congressman.
Should be a revolutionary act. I've never been your normal politician because I believe the only election that matters is the one on the last day when our fate eternally is decided. So I cannot lie. I've never lied in public. I have never told a lie to the public, ever. And that costs. You pay a price in the short term. Although I've been elected seven times to Parliament and I'm not finished yet, although my parliamentary experience spans five decades, which is why I know things ain't what they used to be. Mm-hmm. When I went into Parliament in the 1980s, there were giants in Parliament who, when they stood up, nobody knew what they were going to say.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what conclusion they were going to reach.
That sounds so refreshing.
Now we have a parade of speak-your-weight machines, of automatons, who do exactly what they're told to do.
Why? Is it
the collapse of ideology?
What, people say again?
The collapse of ideology. People don't believe in anything anymore. They think that a politician is a manager, and a middle manager at that.
But weren't they? I mean, I look at Merz.
BlackRock. I look at Starmer, lawyer. All these guys are either bankers or lawyers.
Macron was a banker.
Yeah.
They all are businessmen, and they will go on to be businessmen. Tony Blair will be the role model for all of these people. Tony Blair's now worth more than £100 million.
Oh, my God.
Once upon a time, prime ministers retired to a country house to write memoirs that right. scarcely anyone would read, but would be very respectable
right.
and would be in every library in the country.
And now, as you said, how much do you need? That's yeah,
exactly.
a wonderful life.
Exactly.
You know?
And now they retire to go through the revolving door to the corporates that they favoured when they were prime minister, when they were defence minister, when they were finance minister.
I said recently, Merz doesn't work for the people of Germany. He works for the people of BlackRock. Am
yeah,
I right?
For sure. And Goldman Sachs, in the case of Macron, the City of London and the globalist forces, in the case of Starmer, the Bilderbergs and the Davos and all these collections. These are enemies of the people, in my view.
Mm-hmm.
And they are usually concealed. In the case of the Trumps, no longer concealed. They've thrown caution to the wind. They are insider trading. They
are
market manipulating.
Sure.
They are calculating. They're finished in politics. So let's make billions before we leave. That's the Epstein class. And it was our friend Morandi that coined that phrase.
Yeah.
The Epstein class. That will live for 100 years, that phrase. And we now know the kind of people the Epstein class are. We ask, how much money do they need? What do they need all that money for? It's to live degenerate lives.
Mm.
Not all of them, of course, are involved in degeneracy, but anyone who's read the Epstein files, as I have, I think I've read more Epstein files than anyone else alive. I mean that.
Really?
And, yeah. And even I, at my age, with everything I've seen, shocked
but
daily.
If you read the Epstein files, then you must have come away with what anybody who would look at this would come away with. Unfortunately, it's not the takeaway of anyone in the media or anyone in power. Yes, these degenerate, horrible human beings did horrible things with young girls. I got it. As horrible as that is, I want to go further and ask, who put the camera there? Who set it up? Who paid this guy, Epstein? And there's only one answer to that.
There is. It's unfortunate,
Israel.
But there is.
Yeah.
You don't have to be Sherlock Holmes
Where's
to
that
work
story?
It out.
Why are we talking about this guy and this guy may have done it and that guy was caught getting a massage?
In your wonderful monologue, you showed how the U.S. media treated Massey's defeat yesterday.
Yeah.
Not one of them mentioned Israel.
Nothing.
Not one. In social media, there's nothing else except the word Israel. Everybody who isn't reliant on what we used to call the mainstream media, and I'll call it the lamestream media, believes that Israel is responsible for Epstein. But nobody who's reliant on the television in the corner or the New York Times is any the wiser. But the merest glance, never mind an expert like me, the merest glance at the Epstein files makes clear who. And I'll tell you, it's a bold statement, Rick, you don't have to agree with it. That's why we're at war with Iran, because Netanyahu has told Trump what he's got on Trump. And Trump has no alternative, because if I may correct you, it's not just dirty old men playing around with girls they could never hope to entertain.
Mm.
It's criminal activities. It's activities that are so bestial, I won't mention them on your show.
Oh, God.
It is perversion, degeneracy, on a level that is demonic. I'm not saying that Trump did that, although there are many who claim he did, but Trump's friends did.
And it sure looks like this guy Mandelson did.
Well, Mandelson may have been saved by being gay. I don't know if there was a gay scene attached to the Epstein affair. I haven't found evidence of that.
Interesting.
Yet. But Mandelson is a lover of money more than anything else. people were attracted to this island, to this townhouse in Manhattan, because they smelt money. They smelt exploitation of other human beings, and they smelt money. And Epstein was a very smart guy. He knew the human weaknesses amongst this Epstein class that he was dealing with. Hmm. And he subverted, corrupted journalists, politicians,
yeah,
upcoming politicians, going down politicians, ex-prime ministers, royals, not just the obvious British royals, mm-hmm, but Danish royals and Scandinavian princesses by the score. I mean, this was the most successful operation.
Crazy.
In recorded history.
You mentioned a little while ago the war in Iran, and I was keenly listening to your conversation with Professor Mirandi, and you asked him a really good question. If this thing restarts, what's going to happen? Is Yemen going to get involved? Is Iraq going to get involved? What are you guys going to do to fire back? And he gave you a really great answer, and I want to play it for our audience. This is from George's show last night. Take a listen.
If there is a renewal of war, if there is another aggression by the Israelis and the Americans, Yemen will become deeply involved. They will have a major impact on the battlefield and on the global economy. And the resistance in Iran in Iraq is going to be far more active and far more assertive than they were during the 39 days of onslaught. In addition to that, again, my understanding from what I'm hearing, the Iranians are going to hit much harder and they're going to be more decisive and no punches will be pulled. So in a sense, the battle ahead is going to be more decisive than the 39 days war, the 39 days of war. And I don't see the United States winning this war, and I don't see the Israeli regime winning.
Think about what he's saying, because he mentioned to you as well about all the desalination plants, how hot it is right there. Hey, the Strait of Al-Mandab. I mean, if you can shut off the Strait of Al-Mandab that goes into the Red Sea, as well as the Strait of Hormuz, that's 40% of the stuff going out to the world.
Yes.
I mean,
it means the Depression of 1930s scale. You mentioned the Depression earlier.
Yeah.
It's worth it for younger viewers to revisit that. We're talking about the virtual collapse of all economic activity in our countries. It's not a question of oil, petrol, gas at $10 a gallon. It's no petrol at all.
Yeah.
It's no fertilizer. It's no foodstuffs. It's none of the essential materials of life. It means mass movements of people. If there's an evacuation of the Persian Gulf, which there would have to be once the air conditioning switched off.
Yeah, it's 120 degrees
yeah, more.
Yeah.
These people with no water to drink because the desalination has been destroyed, no air conditioning, they're going to have to move. Where are they going to move? They're going to move somewhere near us. They're going to head for places where they can get water, where they can remain cool. So we are talking about life-changing, permanently life-changing movements of people and collapse of economies of a kind that has not been seen for 100 years by people in the West. There's nobody alive today who experienced the Depression, but there are many people who've written many books and made many programs. You can look them up.
Yeah.
We could
My father, your father told us
exactly.
Stories. Yeah.
We were in bread lines. We were in camps, in tents, in Central Park, in New York. We were begging, desperate for work, and work there was none. Is that worth it to defend Netanyahu?
Right? I mean,
really?
Right.
Why our people have got to stand up and say, why should we suffer that?
This is crazy.
For Netanyahu.
Yeah.
You know, a French president once said, I won't use the word he used, but a little country on the Mediterranean of 9 million people is orchestrating deliberately these massive seismic events that may very well bring life as we knew it to a close. We may have to stay here in Moscow. Right. Might be the only place to be between here and China. Might be the only place to be because our own countries will become essentially uninhabitable. If what Professor Morandi predicted there, and he's been right entirely up till now,
yeah,
comes to pass.
I went to Iran, as you know, and I spoke to
you
Iran.
You did a great job there, yeah.
Thank you. And, yeah, we're very proud of our reporting that we did as a group. And everything they told me they would do, and this was a week before the bombs fell, they actually did.
Yeah.
And actually, they even went beyond that.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I have told Professor Morandi, I said, I had no idea that you guys would be as efficient as you have been as a country.
I'm the same. And I thought I knew everything about Iran. I had no idea they had this firepower.
Which is why I'm saying now, when I heard him say this to you, I thought, he's not just boasting.
No. This is not Pete Hegseth. Yeah? This is a sober-minded and very kindly gentleman, a professor, born in the United States, by the way. He's eligible to run for Congress, for president.
I found the Iranian nature to be like him, though. Iranians are very honest and very
much misunderstood people.
Yes.
That's deliberate, of course. They've been painted as angry fanatics shaking their fist at the camera, death to this, death to that.
Yeah.
This is an ancient civilization of 5,000 years standing. I mean, Trump is boasting about destroying places that predate the United States by several millennia.
Yeah, 6,000-year civilization, and we won. And they fought the wars with the Greeks and the Romans, and to them, this is like, okay, bring it, right? You know, it's funny. Final point. There's a movie that was just released. I just read. Universal is about to put out a new movie where they're going to show Americans how these brave American pilots were shot down in Iran and somehow survived. First of all, the whole thing is a lie, because that's not what happened. It was actually an operation to take the uranium, as I'm sure you know. But beyond that, this idea that the media constantly has to tell us that all Muslim people are bad and that all Russians are bullies and that all the Chinese are sneaky, this is part of the problem. This is what someone like Trump probably has in the back of his mind, because he's a creature of this stuff.
Yes, and it's, again, deliberate. We need to make people ogres, demons, in order to justify the money we spend preparing to make war on them. And there's, you know, I've been around the world several times. Everybody, every human, has the same feelings. We all have the same red blood. We have the same dreams, the same wishes for our children and their children. And if only we didn't have people who were determined to cause division so that they could arm up against the other and have the control of the media that they do to paint a picture of other people to other people in such a way that we are terrified of them. Mm. It's manufacturing consent for war. That's where we are stuck in.
Well, I mentioned that he was courageous, and I mentioned he's a truth teller. He's also eloquent. Did you notice, by the way? Stick around. I'm going to do a couple of things here, and then we're going to end up. Time to look at what you're saying about what we've been talking about lately. Mitra Rache 84 says, you know, I think everyone's missing the point. Massey may have lost the battle, but not the war. The fact that the pro-Israeli lobby spent so much money on him shows his power. Well, actually, that's a great point, Ms. Mitra. I thank you for that. Danny Kwan, 783, says, China has come to the realization that the United States no longer respects past treaties and agreements. This is a major mistake in U.S. foreign policy. Breaking treaties is a big part of who we are, Mitra. Mr. Danny, just ask the Navajos, ask the Cherokee, ask the Sioux, or so many others who were also lied to. Right, George?
Unbelievable. I mean,
it's part of the history.
Bury my heart at Wounded Knee.
Oh, my goodness. C. Khan, 72, 71, 91, says, Putin and Xi signed a series of 40 very meaningful, long-term Russia-China-friendly agreements that together they will lead, shape, and build a new world order, or a new world order framework, she said. Well said, 72, 91.
Well said. And Monhas Pierre 14439 says, Mr. Sanchez, as a German, I can tell you the Germans don't hate the Russians, like you said. It's as America. It's our leadership that it hates, not the people. Okay, there are brainwashed ones who don't know better, but most Germans see no reason to hate Russia. I'm so glad to hear that, Mr. Speer. Your criticism was on point, and I was wrong to brush all Germans with one stroke. Correction taken. Lynn Martin 5936 says, Rick, President Xi is showing the entire world that he is a true leader. He is going to step up and save the world from madmen. Let's hope so, Mr. Martin. But he can't do it alone, and at some point, it would be nice if the West, right, George?
Absolutely.
Could somehow come along.
Save ourselves.
Yeah.
Time is short.
Please. Well, thank you. Thank you, George, for being with us as usual. I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you as a friend.
I love being on your show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's a great conversation.
God bless you.
Thank you guys for all the feedback. It's always appreciated. As you know, we're on all the socials. Got kicked out of YouTube, and suddenly now we're appearing on YouTube again. Some of it, I don't even know who's putting it there, but we got hundreds of thousands of people there on X, on Spotify, on BitChute. Yeah, thanks so much for being with us. But most of all, as I always like to say, thank you so much for letting me and us into your homes. God bless. Take care. We'll see you next time. We're out.